This is Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
Hosted by the writers of Patriots.com. From now until you hear
the New England Patriots light,
the countdown is on. Welcome to the Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light.
What's up, everybody? We're back with another episode of the Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Bud Light, the official drink of the New England Patriots. And guys, today we have an episode focusing on the defensive backs. We have a film review from Evan Lazar. And we also have an interview with the one and only Daniel Jeremiah. But before we get into that, we want to go over some weekend news. And guys, we had a lot. We got Paul Perillo, Chris Cassidy here. We had J.J. McCarthy rise to the top. Very similar to some would say Zach Wilson. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, not buying it. On the surface, I think J.J. McCarthy has some ability. I'm not telling you that I think that he doesn't belong in this conversation with the other quarterbacks. I think he's got more athleticism than he's given credit for. I think he's shown the ability to move around in the pocket and make plays. But, the most recent stuff coming out of the owners' meetings, talking about possibly Washington at number two, I have to think they're trying to pump this guy's value up for some reason. Trying to increase the importance of those picks. Let's see if you can entice somebody to move up. But I don't see J.J. McCarthy being on par with those other guys, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think he's a notch below those guys.
Sam, Chris, what do you think?
I definitely see him more, as like a second-round type of guy. He had a great pro day. I mean, nothing new there. But at the same time, it's like this whole time he's been pushed as that second-round quarterback. You can go and get him. You can focus on the Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake Mays of the world in the first round. J.J. McCarthy has always been that second round sort of buffer, so I don't know what is causing all of this extra hype around it. I think it's really interesting. He's great mobility. He didn't throw the ball all that much at Michigan. He threw a good amount, and he had a great receiver in Roman Wilson, but I don't fully see that first round upside for him.
Yeah, and that's basically my point with him is I think he has ability. I probably think that you could talk yourself into a first-round pick. That's fine. I just think he's more of a projection because of what Chris just said. He didn't throw as much in college as the other guys. Now, he's younger, so yeah. I guess that's a plus for him, especially if you're looking to take him and maybe understanding that you're not going to play him right away, sort of get him more acclimated to the pro game. But I feel like the other guys had to carry their teams. J.J. McCarthy won more than the other guys, but I think he had, quote-unquote, less to do with it than the other guys.
Yeah, the real discussion will be if Washington makes that pick, what the trickle-down effect will be.
Oh, that'd be great news for the New England Patriots if that happens.
Gives you some options there. But, guys, we also had owner meetings, league meetings, and some new rules got made. So we have the kickoff changes, but the one that kind of affects the Patriots, maybe their draft situation, is the hip drop tackle. We're seeing tackling kind of taken out of the game here. So how's that approach? Are you going to take
it? I don't like the rule, obviously. Yeah. But, I think every team's in the same boat. I don't necessarily think it will impact as much with the draft. I think, what I would worry about from a defensive point of view, and I saw Juwan Bentley was very, very active on social media talking about this stuff. You can't hit high. You can't hit low. Now you can't hit in the middle.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't really know what a defensive player to do. And the thing that would bother me the most, if I were an NFL defensive player, and I could be. I mean, it's not a stretch. But what would bother me the most, in all seriousness, would be sort of the comments coming out of those meetings about you might not see it as much with flags on the field, but you're going to see it with fines.
Yeah. Right.
That would really bug me.
Yeah.
If I were, especially like a safety, having to deal with these huge tight ends and trying to figure out a way to get them on the ground.
If you're like a Marcus Jones size player and you got Derrick Henry running at you, what are you supposed to do?
It's going to be interesting. I think I want to sort of compare it to the pass interference penalty that was revoked, thankfully. I hope that the flag isn't going to be thrown as much as that pass interference flag was. It's tough to overturn things like that. And also not that you'd be able to overturn it, but that's a tough penalty, and they're just playing football. They're going in for a normal tackle. They've been taught this since they were in second grade. This is how you hit, and it's upsetting, honestly, in my opinion.
You're keeping the head out of the hit. You're leading with your shoulder. You're targeting the midsection.
Exactly.
But you're rolling in a way that they don't like.
Yeah.
You know, unweighting yourself. I just think you're really asking for a lot of trouble in trying to adjudicate that. I think it's going to be difficult. I think you're going to see plays that are going to impact games on routine tackles. And I know it's all about player safety, and I would certainly never advocate anything that's not in the name of player safety. It's a violent game, and I understand it. I think this one's tough. I think the kickoff one, Tease, makes a little bit more sense. It's going to be a little different.
Yep.
It's going to be jarring to people who haven't seen it. Psychos like Tease and I, we watch a little spring football, so we've seen
XFL,
this.
Baby.
We've seen XFL games. We've seen this kickoff a little bit. I think it's going to be really, really an adjustment, though, for people who haven't.
And it also gets rid of the surprise onside kick now, because now you need to let the other team know.
That,
and so we'll see what happens with that. Chris, you got anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the kickoff setup. I think, you know, I would have loved to have seen a Slater in this type of role to see what more of an impact he could have had, because he was that, like, constant gunner for the Patriots, just sprinting down the sideline, gets to the ball first. And now you don't really have that. Now it's more of a scrum rugby style of play. And I think that'll, in my opinion, draw a little bit more interest on the opening kickoff, because usually when you're watching a game, if you're at home, you're
going to go get beer.
Yeah.
You just to explain it real quick, you're still kicking off from the 35, but the rest of the kickoff team is now up at the
35.
The opponent 35, within 5 to 10 yards of everybody on the receiving team, with the exception of the two returners. You have to have two returners in the quote-unquote landing area. So basically 19 of the 22 players that are on the field for that play will now be aligned within 5 to 10 yards of each other, which is ostensibly going to cut down on those violent hits that take place in space, you know, with a guy running with a full head of steam. So that one, I can understand the player safety. I get that. And they're trying to get returns back in the game, because – the results
right now,
last year,
they were out of bounds the whole time.
They were, and there's also different touchback limitations that, as you go as well.
Yeah. So then we also got Coach Mayo saying, looks like Big Mike is going to be playing right tackle. So, or that's what
to
we're
to start.
That's
he said
start.
He's not. Yeah. He did say he could be moving him around.
Looks like it's
too.
A big option. So that might change how we approach drafting alignment and what round we do it, and hopefully we do it, because we need one on the left side.
Maybe they're going to draft – they're going to keep him at right tackle, because they're going to draft Michael Penix, and that'll be the blind side. Did you ever think of that?
I mean, talking about Penix, though, kind of going back to the J.J. McCarthy discussion, I know we're kind of off of it, but he's a guy that threw the ball a million times at Washington. You could see his arm. You can see his progress throughout the season, and he's still semi-mobile. I mean, you worry about his injuries here and then, but – like that's the type of person I would see in that, like, solidified second round role, like maybe moving up into the first. Whereas JJ, I don't really see that.
Yeah.
You know.
Got you. Paul, anything else on the weekend?
We had some minor little uniform
news,
right?
You
were very excited about that. I'm going to let you
talk. It's been a long time.
It.
Chris, I don't know if you know, Pats are getting the captain patch on the jersey.
This.
So, you know, when we did that a couple of years ago, it would have worked out differently. But, other than that, guys, we got a good episode coming up with the defensive backs. As I said, we also got a film breakdown and an interview with Daniel Jeremiah. So let's get into the show.
All right, we're here talking defensive backs today. Guys, not a huge need for the Patriots. I think we can kind of get specific. We'll talk about some of the big guys. But overall, Patriots drafted Christian Gonzalez last year. They've got Jonathan Jones coming back, but maybe some questions in the slot. It's safety. We've seen Kyle Duggar kind of move into a little bit more of that Devin McCourty role. Probably talk a little bit free safety stuff. But first guy I just want to talk off the top, and Evan, when we were in the at the Combine in Indy, we talked about Cooper DeJean. And if Bill Belichick was still here, Cooper DeJean will probably be the pick at some point, just because of how versatile he is. He's a really good athlete, too.
Yeah, he's basically Marcus Jones, but like a bigger version. You know, has a little bit more of those traditional outside cornerback traits, if you want to play him there. Play the slot, play outside, play a little safety, probably play special teams, probably could play offense. Like, you know, he's just one of those guys that is as versatile as they come, and a rare type of athlete, you know, at that position. to be able to do all those different types of things. I think his natural home at the NFL is going to be outside corner, but he can basically play anywhere you want him to play.
So I forgot to introduce the whole panel, too. Of course, we got Chris Cassidy's back, sitting in for our friend Paul Perillo. Matisse Bauman, of course, you know me and Evan.
Sorry,
Chris,
we're still here.
Going to you, what do you got at cornerback? Who tickled your fancy?
A couple of the Alabama guys, Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry. I mean, both solid cornerbacks. Probably could be first-round guys, realistically. I mean, I have on here, I mean – the thing with Kool-Aid might make him fall is Jones fracturing his foot. It's always foot injuries. You don't want to mess with those.
Nice info. Good job.
I mean, that was combine info. We found that out together, actually. But, those are really serious. I mean, foot injuries, they go a long way. I mean, you got to not a lot of blood flow to the foot. So you got to
– You would know.
You got to keep an eye. I would. I broke my foot 4 times, actually.
Not a lot of blood flow to the foot.
I was going to say about Arnold. I mean, Arnold, 63 tackles this past season. He's a go-getter. He's a downhill defensive back. Like, he'll meet you at the ball at all times. So I really like what Arnold does. So that's two guys that I really caught my eye.
Yeah. I'm near the top. Probably not Patriots option.
I would say, Terrion Arnold is probably the consensus CB1 in this class. Maybe top 10, top 15 pick. His ball skills are exceptional as well. I think he has something like 80 targets in college, and he's broken up 30 of them or like something crazy like that. A really good downhill player, as Chris said. He's probably him or Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo are the two guys that are going to be the first corners off the board.
Can we also celebrate Kool-Aid, a meme, finally making it to the league? I remember going, it was like, best names. But Kool-Aid and Terrion Arnold, I was watching the LSU-Bama highlights, and, Neighbors had a crazy game, but most of his big catches were against the safeties, just breaking three broken coverages. I also love Cooper DeJean. As I say, that boy, nice. He can hit. He's safety. Could also move him to safety. I wonder if he's going to end up being like Devin McCourty, maybe starting off a cornerback and then potentially moving to safety later in his career. I also want to shout out Nate Wiggins. Very, very physical. Likes to get involved, break up the pass. And very, like, he likes to nag the receiver. And that's kind of what you want with your cornerbacks there.
I got another one here. I think all of us have some familiarity with him. He's a local kid, Mike St. Ristel.
Everett.
No, we were talking to you guys pregame. Everybody was kind of mentioning him. We did sit in back of his parents on the way back from the
combine. I was waiting for that to come out.
I got to tell you, they're great people. It was really cool. They were very proud of their son. But, I don't know if it's going to line up, Evan, like with him. And
yeah, he's going to go early.
But he fits, And, he played offense, just tenacious, 6 interceptions. 2 of them he returned for touchdown. If there was one guy that you could kind of, slip in, what a great fit. He'd be a good one here.
Yeah, there's a lot of these types of players in this draft, unfortunately, for the Patriots, because I don't think the need in the slot is as big as maybe another rotational body on the outside right now. You have obviously, Christian Gonzalez, but in terms of size on the outside, physicality on the outside, you still kind of could use another guy there. Whereas in the slot, you probably think Jonathan Jones is going to play a lot of snaps there. Marcus Jones coming back. Sainstrel to me is a nickel. And this class, just as a general statement on the cornerback class, there are a ton of nickels in this class. Like, that's really where it's strong is slot corner, especially on day 2. So he probably is the top of that, but there's a whole list of them after that. So this quarterback class is interesting. I don't think it's as top heavy as past years. I think last year the top guys like Christian Gonzalez, like the kid the Seahawks drafted, Witherspoon, I think those guys are probably would be better than some of these guys in this class. Mm-hmm. But 10 to 40 is really deep. There's probably going to be a handful of corners taken in that sort of range. So I'm curious to see when these corners start coming off the board because of all the offensive talent at the top of the first round. It could be Terrion Arnold's the first corner at 11 or 12 or something like that, which is in most years that's pretty low.
Yeah.
I also want to see, it's like if the Pats are going to make it, personally, I don't think they can make that pick before the 4th if they were to take a corner. And so you got to see if maybe St. Estrell or Elijah Jones, somebody's around there, maybe take a flyer on them. But it just that pick can't happen before the 4th.
Elijah Jones is on my list. Saw him at the Senior Bowl. Long freak athlete, maybe a little bit undersized, not a guy that's huge in terms of mass, but very athletic and a really good length, can play on the outside, maybe play a little bit of safety. The other name I wrote down was Cam Hart from Notre Dame, who had a really good Senior Bowl week. He similar size, but more physical in press man coverage. If you want a true outside bump and run corner in the third or fourth round, he's a little grabby. He doesn't have the great long speed, so he's probably not going to be that high pick. I would look at Cam Hart. My number one corner, I love Tyrone Arnold. Think he's a good player. I love Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. That guy, I think, is going to be a hell of a pro. Yep. So I would say that those are the three guys that, you know, different tiers, right? You know, Quinyon Mitchell, first round pick. Cam Hart, day two guy, maybe third or fourth round. Elijah Jones, maybe slightly after that.
Yeah. I mean, there's two guys that if Pats want to go a cornerback route, I think that stand out to me second, third day type players. Kamari Lassiter. I think Kamari's a solid player out of Georgia. And I really like Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon.
Yep.
Just played his 2023 season with Oregon. All Pac-12, first team. You know, he's got great tackling grade. Pro Football Focus, 84.3 tackling. Was one of the top tacklers at Oregon. Again, also kind of a ball hawk, three interceptions. So Kyrie is somebody that could fall if the Patriots want to go to the corner.
They like those Oregon corners, so you might as well.
Yeah, right. A couple for me to throw out, and this is a guy that I saw at the combine, and he just had the vibe. Max Melton from Rutgers. Ran a 4.39, inside-outside guy, just plays tough, you know. Watched a little of him against Marvin Harrison Jr., did a really good job. Mm-hmm. I think there's some question if he is a slot. And, yeah. Just to offer a differing point of view, and we're recording this at a certain point. I'm kind of expecting and I'm hoping that the Patriots sign somebody like Stephon Gilmore, as what Evan said, that third rotational outside guy. Yeah. I'm not exactly sold entirely yet on Marcus Jones in the slot. So I am a little bit more open to some of these slot guys. Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville is another one that caught my eye. Good movement skills, just aggressive kind of press man. And the last one I'll just mention here in the cornerback class, of course, we got to get a TCU guy in, is Josh Newton, who
Go
played
frogs.
Over 4,000 snaps, experienced guy. Again, another guy who played some inside, played some outside. I think he just offers some versatility to the guys. Anybody else you guys
know? No, Josh Newton's a good shout. I watched him live at that game that I keep getting to reference somehow because we keep doing this on purpose.
You should have expensed that whole thing.
Yeah, right. Starting. I mean, I should have been clocked in. I mean, come on. He's a good player. Maybe a little bit, needs to add some play strength, I would say, to his game. But I could see them, Max Melton's a good pull, too. Really good slot corner, I think, as well. I mentioned all these slot corners. Him, Sainstrill, those guys definitely all fit that same bill. Aggressive players that can tackle, play at the point of attack in the run game, and then cover. So I think all these guys can do a lot of different things.
I also like DJ James from Auburn and Kalen Carson from Wake Forest. Very good tacklers, which with the potential rule change, we'll see how much that affects.
No, they don't hit.
Yeah, exactly. That's
guys
the,
by the hips
that's the issue.
That was really an amazing read. Today I was like, what is that?
But maybe somebody you can get in the later rounds. Just be, not an instant day one starter, but somebody you can develop on the back end. Those are my two guys.
Well, I mean, I think we're all, kind of on the same page. I mean, it's a late day two at best, probably day three kind of position. Let's move over to the safety group, though. DeGene, kind of, a little bit of a safety potential. But, just looking at what the Patriots have, and as we were recording Patriots Unfiltered previous to this, they just signed Jalen Hawkins as well. So another, strong safety type. They sure have a type. So that leads me to continue to kind of pursue free safety types and, ball hawk guys, maybe that don't have the biggest size, but they've got the range. I'm just going to throw off the top Cameron Kitchens from Miami, who I think you got to look at him up close, right, Evan? I think for me, probably going to go too soon before the Patriots would actually want to select him. But to me, that's one player that you put him in. He would probably fit this rotation pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's one of the only defensive players that I look at that I would say if they took Cam Kitchens with an early pick, I wouldn't completely riot. I think
a little bit.
There's some other guys that I would maybe fit that bill, but to me, if the Patriots touch a defensive player before the 68th pick in the draft, then we're doing something wrong. But Cam Kitchens is one of those guys that I think can definitely play that center field role, and he didn't test very well at the combine, and that's going to be the knock on him. But in a lot of ways, his combine and his whole projection profile reminds me a lot of Brian Branch, where he didn't test very well either, but he's just a dog. Like, he's just a football player, and you're gonna put him out there and that he's gonna play football well, but maybe not be an Olympian. Like, I don't really care, right? So Cam Kitchens definitely on the board for sure for the Patriots. Also Lonzo Highsmith connection with him. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot to like about him, and you put him back there at the perch in center field, and then you have Duggar in the box and Peppers you know, over the nickel or whatever. Now you're now you got a complete secondary. Everybody's got a home. That makes sense.
You got Chris. You got some safeties for us.
The only one that jumped out at me was Kalen Bullock.
The other one.
Yeah, love him.
Other
love
center
fielder. He's a solid guy. Good in cover three, cover one. You know, you just need a guy that can kind of oversee things in that defense. I think, you know, that was sort of a Duggar role.
Every play is trying to knock the ball out, which is unreal.
Yeah, he's we were talking to Jordan Reed at the Combine about this, and I said, who are the center fielders in this draft? And he said, Cam Kitchens is tier one, and then Bullock from USC is tier two. Yep. So he's definitely one of those players that flashes on film that sideline-to-sideline ability from center field.
So the two things, first of all, I love Javon Bullard from Georgia. I mean, that guy's a beast.
Guy's going to kill somebody.
Yeah,
on the field.
And, like, that's what you want with your safety, and he's going against the best of the best in the SEC. But I also want to talk about, it's kind of interesting how this year there were so many, like, high-end safeties just on the free agent market. So it's really going to make you wonder how these teams value drafting one of these players in this position, because it's kind of the running back of the defense almost with some of the hits these guys take. So
yeah, it's interesting how the Patriots seem to zig in that category. They seem to still value safeties. The rest of the league, not so much. And, you know, they're willing to transition tag Duggar and, you know, stuff like that. So the last one that I would mention is Sione Vaika from Utah. Ooh. Who another guy that can play multiple
running
positions
back.
And play some running back, play both sides of the ball, play special teams, play deep safety, play strong safety. So if there's any Belichick still in that draft room, I'm telling you that Vaika is going to be high on their board. And a lot of teams at the Combine, I think at his pro day he's going to, have asked him to work out at running back and do some running back drills as well. So they see him as somebody that can play both sides of the ball. And that screams Patriots.
There
so.
It is. If it still goes up, just I'll throw up a couple. And, you know, Jalen Simpson's a guy, a later guy, I feel like, that could potentially be that free safety. He's just really small, and I want to like him more than I do. But I threw him in there. Last one I would just say is Tyler Owens from Texas Tech, who's a low experience kind of guy, only had 12 starts. But A-plus special teams kind of a guy, hard hitter. You know, just kind of like we're looking day three here. We're looking for developmental guys who can play special teams. There were just a couple that kind of jumped out at me. Anybody else you guys got to share?
I had Newbin, one of the top ones, just as a ball hawk, but I don't think he's going to be in Foxborough anytime soon. So
yeah, he seems to be the consensus number one safety now that Kitchens didn't have a great combine, but I'm still on the Kitchens bandwagon. I don't want to overreact. The film is too good to just sit there and say that because he had a bad day in Indy that he's not a good player. So those are the two guys that are probably going to be near the top of the safety class. But no, you know, there's no Antoine Winfield Jr. There's no, you know, top dog in this safety class. I wouldn't say that was a consensus, you know, first round type of guy. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our defensive back segment. And now we're going to switch to a bigger picture thing, which I had a chance to talk with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, really getting a breakdown of all the Patriots' draft needs, what they're going to do at three, the trade-down possibilities, late-round fits. Went through all that with DJ. You can check that out now.
All right, so excited to be joined by Daniel Jeremiah now. DJ, Patriots sitting at three overall. It seems like we're kind of – I know you took Jaden Daniels in your latest mock draft. Everybody, I think, has kind of accepted Drake May or Jaden Daniels. That seems like the most popular pick. Just what do you see in those two guys? What could fans here expect if you were to draft one of those guys? Do you think they're ready to come in and play right away? Do you think they have to sit?
I think they could both come in and play. I think for sure, let's start with Jaden Daniels, and let's start with that one. He's started a zillion games, started 50-plus games in college. He's older. He's mature. He's been through adversity. So, you know, those are the things you kind of look at when you're, you know, okay, is this guy going to be able to survive some of these speed bumps along the way here? I think he would be fine. I think also with him, the athleticism to be able to buy time and as he gets more comfortable in the passing game that they're going to deploy there, I think you've got ways to generate offense as he's still going to, you know, even though he's played a lot of college games, learn how to read NFL defenses and get adjusted there. I think his legs buy him some time. So I think you could absolutely get him out there. You know, what you like about him, look, the accuracy, especially over the top, he's got unbelievable touch. He played with confidence this year. I mean, there was so many slot fades that they hit. They were just, you know, one after another, perfect over-the-shoulder throws. And then when things aren't there, you know, he can go make things happen with his legs. So that's him as a player, why I think he'd be fine going right into the mix. Drake May, you know, the prototype. You get the big physical athletic dude who can, you know, to me, he can make every type of throw. And I mean that not just like velocity wise, he has the arm strength to do that. I mean, you'll see him layer the ball. He'll take some steam off the ball, touch it up. He can get those over-under throws going. He got into some bad habits this year, some pressure. He's drifting away, did a little bit better job of getting his feet set. But I don't think I've seen anything from him, and I don't believe I've seen anything from him that would say, okay, this guy really needs a lot of time. There's some things to work on, some things to clean up. But again, another real mentally and physically tough kid.
So if we don't take a quarterback there, you know, everybody's kind of considering, do they trade down? And it's, I think it's a, you know, with the holes at tackle, at receiver, I mean, these classes are loaded at both those positions.
Yeah.
I think you trade down, though. It's just, it's hard to see where they're picking 34. Those tackles are going to kind of go. It feels like, you know, even some of the receivers, I know that it's a deep class, but what do you see would maybe be a package that the Patriots would consider to trade down with? And, you know, would it make sense maybe for them to try to hit that tackle class near the top or some of those receivers?
Well, there's a lot of different scenarios you can kick around. I mean, you don't have to potentially go that far. I mean, if you look at the Giants as a team that's been mentioned as a quarterback team, whoever their guy is, that could be something where if you're the Patriots, you're like, you know, we really like four quarterbacks, but we also have these other needs that you mentioned. If we were to go to six, there's a chance, you know, there's a chance maybe the fourth quarterback is there. If not, you have to be comfortable with the fact of, okay, well, I'm going to get, you know, I might have a chance to get the best offensive tackle in the draft, or I can get one of the top two wide receivers in this draft. That's an option while picking up all these other resources to fill some of these holes. So that would be intriguing to me. I think everybody's mentioned the Vikings as a team that would, you know, love to move up. They acquired that second first round pick from Houston to be able to go do that. So 11, you're going to miss out on top three wideouts. They're gone. You're going to probably miss out on the first two, maybe even three tackles. That one to me, it's stick and pick is the smartest thing to do. And if for some reason you are going to trade down, I don't know that I would want to go beyond six if I was New England.
You mentioned four quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy, kind of, you know, getting a little buzz about him. Why do you think that is? Mm-hmm. What about him is his kind of made him rise here after the combine?
Well, I think there's, you know, a lot of times we talk about guys rising. Guys haven't had a chance to do them yet. And I think he wasn't one of those name brand players that people assume would come out this year over last offseason. So if you're a decision maker on a personnel side, you probably hadn't watched him over the summer. And then you get into this year, you've got your whole host of candidates for quarterbacks where the assumption is he's probably going to go back to school. If you're loosely following it, you're like, yeah, he's not posting really big numbers. So he's maybe, you know, kind of hiding in plain sight on the number one team in the country. But I think once the season ended, he declares, I think then people had a chance to go back through. It takes a while. I was talking about this with somebody the other day. It takes a while to get comfortable with him. It's like an acquired taste where, you know, you watch a game, you watch another game, like, okay, I don't know, has he done much here? Well, I saw a couple good throws. But then when you piece the whole thing together, specifically when you do the cut-ups, when you watch like every third and seven plus throw, and you're okay, this is where you're facing challenging defenses that know you're going to throw the football, and you see him, he deals. His third and seven reel is good or better than any quarterback in this draft class. So that's why I think it just took a little time. It wasn't just a cut and dry, easy evaluation.
I mentioned kind of the three big needs, quarterback, tackle, wide receiver. It just seems hard to get all three. Patriots just signed KJ Osborne. They, you know, they have some depth there. They got nine receivers on the roster.
Yeah.
I think what's really lacking is an outside threat. And I guess the question really is, if you don't get a receiver there in day one, A.D. Mitchell, those kind of guys late first, maybe that you'd have to trade back up for, are there any fits you maybe see that could be that developmental outside guy that you could get in the second, third round kind of moving forward?
There's a ton of wideouts when you go through this draft, and I think it's been that way for really the last several drafts. It's just what the college game has given you. So, you know, you talk about a pick at 34, top of the second round. You know, one of the guys who's you know, got a lot of love around the league is Pearsall from Florida, and he's somebody who could play inside, could play outside, could do a lot of different things there. Troy Franklin would give him a speed merchant on the outside there from Oregon, who's a little lean, but he has a lot of juice, a lot of explosiveness. But I mean, we could literally go through the entire, every round of the draft, and I could give you three names that are going to be there. It's just, there's a million of them. So, and that's one of the things that I'm struggling with forecasting this first top 10 is, yes, I have three receivers, the top five players in this draft class. And I'm sitting there going like, gosh, I wouldn't want to pass on one of these three guys. But then I'm like, yeah, but you could wait until the second, third, fourth round, and there's still starting caliber players there. Whereas, you know, tackles, even though it's a deep group, you know, historically here, they're gone. At the end of the first round, you're it's hard to find starting tackles. They're just not going to be there. So that's why, to me, that informs the decision a little bit. And you go, okay, maybe I have this receiver a little bit over this tackle, or maybe a little bit over this, you know, edge rusher or receiver. When you look at the receivers with versus edge rushers and tackles, it's like, man, I can get receivers anywhere. So that'll be fascinating.
Just generally, what do you feel like when we get into day three, late day two, day three? Where's the value there? Like, what are the position groups you feel like are have that depth? That, I mean, you know, regardless of needs, just what are the strongest positions there in day three?
Yeah, I think there's corners. I think it's a good group of day three corners. I also think the running backs are all going to get pushed down. We don't have a lot of separation there. You know, one team's top running back might be another team's eighth rank running back. It's just there's a clump of them. So you don't see them go in the first round. There's a chance we potentially don't even see one go in the second round. And then now I think you see a run in the third. And then I think even to early on day three, that fourth, fifth round, I think there's a good number of backs. And that's kind of the sweet spot for them in this draft. So corners, running backs, those would be the two to me. I think once you get in day three, I think you can get starters.
So last question one for you. Just obviously turnover this year, major turnover at the coaching position. Alex Van Pelt coming in as the offensive coordinator. Gerard Mayo, head coach, game plan, defense. They've always been pretty flexible on that side of the ball. Just overall, any fits that you see? I know the Patriots are evolving. We don't know for sure what they're going to do, but assuming they kind of stick generally, at least defensively, what we've seen from Van Pelt. Any guys out there that you think are kind of fit?
From an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, either side of the ball.
Offense or defense? I mean, to me, I know that obviously Bill's not there, but I think defensively, I don't really see anything changing. I mean, they're always, you know, I think that's ingrained in their culture and who they are. They're going to value, you know, smart, tough, versatile players. I think they're maybe trying to get a little faster. And to me, you can do that. Not only, you know, we think about the secondary, I think, again, just linebackers, just get more speed, as much speed as you can get out there on the field. And then offensively, the identity to me is going to be about, okay, are we going to stick and pick? If it's the third guy is going to be a quarterback, then to me, I think, you know, I think I like the fact of bringing Hunter back. To me, I have a young quarterback. I want easy completions. So even though we would like a big guy on the outside, a flyer, I think it'd almost be more valuable just adding quickness and guys that can uncover and guys that can run after the catch and try and take some of that off of this guy who, you know, you've got a bridge quarterback in place, so he doesn't have to go out there week one. But I would imagine if they stick and pick, we're going to see that guy sooner than later.
Awesome. DJ, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Good to catch you up.
All right, guys. We had a good show there. Defensive backs, all good stuff. Next week, we're gonna wrap up the defensive side of the ball, focus on the front seven. Then we get to get into the offense and all the good stuff that everybody's looking for. So once again, thank you for tuning in to the Patriots Draft Countdown.